Welcome to Osteocast, where we talk all things osteopathy, functional anatomy, and movement. With your hosts, myself, Colby Brokel,
Amanda Boysen,
and Sarah Pucal.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Osteocast. Your hosts here, myself, Amanda, Colby, and Sarah with us this morning.
What's going on, everybody?
Hello.
So today's podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about questions that we're currently working through in our clinical practices, and also some different positions for treating people that might be in rehab or recovery or might come in a wheelchair or a walker, and talk through some different scenarios that we've seen in our clinical practice that we thought might be helpful for you as listeners to hear. So to start things off, things that we're working on in the clinic, personally, Sarah and I talked a little bit about our course that we just did. So outside of the clinical practice, I'm currently working through some of that stuff and looking to perfect some of my skills in terms of intraoral work and cranial treatment. So we've taken 3 of 4 courses now. So now it's about putting it into place and practicing on anyone I can really get my hands on, friends and family to start, before bringing that back into the clinical setting. Do you guys have anything specific that you're working through right now?
I would say similar to you, Amanda, just working through just different ways to get into the body and playing with different forms of barrier. So not always going for that hard direct barrier, but seeing what we can do with an indirect barrier, really trying to feel deeper into the tissues. So how are the fluid dynamics moving, even going as far to just feeling how that tissue is wound up or unwinding and gently unwinding it to have that full body release without the big kind of cranking of the body that we sometimes want to go right for, but isn't always necessary or needed. And it's quite appealing to the nervous system to do it a more indirect approach, which is very cool to experience on the table and in the clinic.
Nice. And then for myself right now, the main focus as far as what I'm learning or working on in clinic is, of course, the biggest thing, very vague, is just doing my best to help patients so they're getting better as quickly as they can with as little force as possible. And then secondly, the other thing or the main thing is still, as I'm sure you guys have listened in the past, I've been working on or studying biodynamic osteopathy in the fluid body. Through the works of like Roland Becker and Fulford and then James Jellis as well. So still working on those same ideas and principles in terms of working with the body and the fluid body. So partly cranial mechanism, but then also going through the body as a whole and having an understanding of the body's inherent healing mechanisms and using those to further improve the body's overall function, more so like treating the function of the body opposed to the structural side of things.
Very cool. Such a change or interesting field to kind of look more into. And I think, at least for myself, when I start to dive into some of these topics that are new or a little bit different or maybe more advanced, it is really amazing to look back on how far we've come from the time we've graduated until now. Because I definitely know that my hands wouldn't have been sensitive enough at one point to be able to feel or experience this type of treatment and provide this type of treatment for clients. So
for sure,
it's super interesting to be able to, as a professional, look into the topics or the areas that you're most interested in and really just dive deeper into those things without the pressure of, 5 courses at school and practice and all the other things. It's quite amazing to just trust your hands and go with how things feel and treat the body for what it needs.
Yeah. And I think you always have to keep an open mind and learn and practice. And when you do read something or do a course, to attempt to apply it so that you have an understanding of what its value is. But I also think that it's important to say, just so the listeners can hear, that this doesn't mean it's the only thing that's being done in the clinical setting. It's just part of what we're trying to learn and experience and work on to see if we can develop our toolbox as practitioners so that we can help a wider array of patients or be more efficient when we're helping patients.
Exactly. We were talking a little bit about statistics, client statistics with before we jumped on here. And so that's one thing that we were discussing is how long it takes to get a patient through a cycle and what are we looking at? And these tools will just help develop our ability to get clients to a more healthy state faster and then be able to have them not be in the clinic as frequently, which is always our goal.
Exactly.
Well, and just getting better tools to reverse the disease process, because we know we can use osteopathy to mechanically get the body moving better and get people feeling better, but how can we continuously prevent disease, but also reverse the disease process that's already started so they have longer term results and better longevity, which is definitely something I think we all watched our professors excel at in school. So to kind of work towards that, which will take years and years of learning and practice, but it's very cool to kind of have that different outlook on how we're treating and how we're affecting the body now.
Exactly. Can either of you speak to where, or maybe another topic of focus that you're looking into or hoping to dive more into in the future? Maybe this is something that's not maybe on your radar yet, but something you've heard about but haven't looked into or haven't further studied yet?
Honestly, I think that I'm working through something that requires an effort for multiple years to get a good grasp or understanding on it. And my brain sometimes wants to jump from thing to thing just because it would be easier instead of like deeply challenging myself as a practitioner. But I think that I owe it to myself to spend the time and focus on what I'm attempting to learn and work right now. And it's a different, I don't know how to describe it. It's a different modality or a different sensation with treatment outside of the purely mechanical world. So I think it's quite important to spend the time, like you were talking about, Amanda, to develop your hands so you can palpate and feel what you're looking for and work through those patterns or work through what you're looking at. So I don't have anything hyper specific or different in the osteopathic side of things that I'm exploring anyways.
Yeah, I would agree with Colby, Amanda. Just as you mentioned, we've taken quite a few kind of cranial related courses now. We've also kind of seen some of the work Colby's been doing with the James Jealous Biodynamics. So just really focusing on that for a little while because there's so much to read and go through when it comes to the cranial field. And then if we did want to dive in a little bit deeper or something different, then move into the biodynamic field, which is, as Colby mentioned, a whole new can of worms, which is very exciting. Definitely will keep our brains going for a long time.
No doubt.
No doubt. No, that's great. Yeah, I would say, like, I would echo what both of you have said in terms of wanting to learn more in that realm. So just very, very curious and interesting to see where our brains are going.
That being said, though, I would like to spend a little bit more time, whether it's on my own thinking and preparing them or doing some sort of education on some at home work that patients can do and some exercises and or patterns or habits that I can better coach patients to do, because I think that's very helpful in the treatment setting, especially specifically for me in the realm of breathing more so than anything, and not about doing like breathing techniques where you inhale for 7 seconds and hold for 7 seconds, but actually how you can help the patient get into different positions with different contractions to help better their diaphragm health, and then also the rib cage. So that is one thing that I do want to explore and add in just to help patients to some extent, as long as it doesn't get too complicated. But outside of that, really, I think that just as you were saying, I have to work on what I'm working on now and give it a good effort.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
And what do you mean by that, Colby? Are you talking about different positions on the table for the patients?
I would be at home stuff.
At homework. Nice.
Yeah. So it could be like, and this is rudimentary for me at this point in time, but if you have a patient who is their breathing quality is all in the belly or all in the chest, or there's no posterior expansion of the thorax when they breathe, you could use positional stuff as well as different variations of contractions to exaggerate those positions with the breath work that they're doing in order to essentially repattern the breathing, or to, in quotation marks, like stretch out the rib cage from inside with the breath, like with the pressure of the lungs, opposed to attempting to stretch it externally through their own stretching or rib raising or whatever that may be.
I definitely think that's such an important thing. So many people talk right now about stretching the outside muscles, but from a functional and a repatterning standpoint, incorporating how your body moves from the inside and using that breath is important. So that's so neat.
That's also a tool to help regulate the nervous system and just kind of get people back into their bodies and reconnected with themselves again and out of our head. So it's not only a good tool for mechanical development, but also just stress-related and nervous system control too.
Yeah, very cool. So let's transition to our next topic of treating people who are in some kind of a recovery or come into your office with maybe some sort of ailment that doesn't allow them to lay flat on your table or maybe not in certain positions. So I know from our conversations previously, we've all kind of experienced this in different capacities within our clinics. And typically when I have clients come in, they, you know, will stand in front of me, I'll do a standing and seated assessment and then have them lay on a table either on the front side or back. But what happens when someone comes into your clinic and that's not an option for them? So I've had a few patients come in where they can't actually lay down. They're either super acute or whatever is bothering them doesn't allow that to happen. So in that case, then there's a purely seated treatment that happens, which can challenge your thought process in terms of what you want to get done in that treatment. And then I've also had a few clients that can't get out of their wheelchair or their walker when they're in the clinical setting as well. So it's always a challenge to make sure that you're giving that person the best treatment possible and making sure that they are stable. And obviously some of them, the recommendations that you would give patients after a session to go for a walk or do some leisurely activity might not apply in the same capacity. So do you guys have anything to touch on with that topic?
Yes. And it's going to be way more vague than people may hope for, but I don't have like a list of positions or things to do with someone who's, for example, in a walker or someone who's just in enough pain that they can't lay down or sit down or whatever position it may be. And it's the same thing that we did in school. I think it's really important that you don't get too comfortable in the clinical setting is ultimately being able to effect a change in all positions at any point in time with patients. And making sure that you're challenging your mind on a semi-regular basis to be able to do that. Because the worst thing that can happen is if you only treat patients that can come in and lay on their back on the table or on their side on the table, and then you have someone come in that can't get out of a chair or can't lay down because something is in so much dysfunction, then you have to attempt to teach yourself how to treat that person in that position again. And it's not fair to the patient to not be competent enough to do so. So instead of saying, hey, yeah, you know, if you hold the arm this way, or you hold the leg this way, or you hold the body this way, I think the most important thing is that even if you have patients that are fully healthy throughout your career, throughout your days or weeks in clinic, you should be making little goals for yourself or little focuses for the day where maybe you spend some more time in seated treatment or in standing treatment or in side-lying treatment than you normally may have, because you want to develop the ability and maintain the ability to help people when they come in those situations. The other thing that's very important with people in those situations is that you have good body control and good support for the patient. So the most important thing when you have someone who can't stabilize or support themselves is that you're capable of putting them in positions or using your body to make sure that you can have proper leverages so that you're not losing leverage and therefore losing barrier.
Really well said, Colby. And you can treat, I mean, you know, if they come in a wheelchair and they aren't able to get out of the wheelchair, or maybe they are, but your table's too high and you can't lower your table. There's lots you can do in that wheelchair and just working through the body in a different way. And, you know, if you need to get to that DL junction, but you can't actually get there because there's the back of the wheelchair in the way, you can work above and below it and just kind of use your leverages and your mechanics to get to that area of the body you want to treat. But it's awesome to practice and challenge yourself to treat in different positions. And that way, when you do get that really hard case, like you mentioned, Colby, you're ready for it and you're not kind of fumbling on how to support the body or what next to do in treatment, because you just know how to leverage and how to use your mechanics in any position.
Exactly.
I think it's important too to note that whenever you're treating in a new position, personally, I notice that I have to work on my own body mechanics to make sure that I'm not hurting myself. So that's another piece of this. Not only are we trying to provide good treatment for the patient, but if you haven't practiced, maybe your stool doesn't sit low enough that if someone's in a wheelchair or walker and you need to treat their lower limbs, like maybe you need to be squatting down. Maybe you need to be sitting and bending forward. Maybe you're in a different position mechanically than you would be if you're treating them on the table. If you're not mobile yourself and working through mobility in different positions and holding, like Colby said, being that stability, treatment is going to feel not great for you as a practitioner, and you won't be able to provide the best treatment for that client. So not only are you wanting to be practicing those things in those different positions, but also make sure that you are ready for anything, because literally things have walked into my clinic that I never thought would. And I've had to work that through on the fly. So the more that you can challenge yourself outside of kind of a laying flat on the table, the better you will be long-term.
So get some treatment yourself. Don't neglect your body as a practitioner and keep moving. Keep working on that mobility work at home. It will definitely make you feel better day to day, especially if you're sore from treating.
Which you shouldn't be if you're using your mechanics properly, right? If you're using your leverages correctly. So if that's the case, then you need to maybe reevaluate or have someone watch you while you're treating. So someone who knows what they're doing, and they can maybe give some suggestions to you. Maybe things you haven't noticed, or take some photos while you're treating. Sometimes that can be really helpful as well.
But also, like, if you have your own dysfunction in your body, and a lot of us do over time, whether it's an injury from sport or exercise or an accident or whatever it may be, that's all part of life and dealing with that. And just as we would work with a patient and give them treatment and potentially give them stretches or exercises or repatterning or something to do at home, it's important that we also follow those things. So those same principles. We get treatment when we need it, and that as a practitioner, you're taking care of yourself, as Sarah was mentioning, because if you're sore throughout the day, and Amanda said you shouldn't be from treating, but if your body's already in a state of dysfunction, even if you have the best mechanics in the world, it can still create some level of soreness, because your body that's just enough to overdo the body. So take care of yourself in order to be able to take care of your patients, because if you can't do it, then you're not going to be able to take care of the patients appropriately.
Exactly. Very well said. Is there anything else you guys want to add on a couple topics that we've spoke about today?
No, I'm quite content with that.
Nope. Yeah.
I feel like we got lots of little nuggets in a very small amount of time. So
yeah,
that's always a good time. So you know where to find us. If you're looking for us on Instagram, you can find us at osteocast_ or on Facebook at osteocast. And if you're listening to the podcast, if you can leave us a review or a rating on that platform, that would help us out and help us reach more people so they can hear our podcast as well. It was great chatting with you today. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.